Good morning. As I always say, and you don't know that I always say this because this is the first time that I am here as a speaker, but I always like to take that passage in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter, I think it's chapter 17, and we're not going to speak on that one, but I like the passage when the Lord Jesus Christ took his three disciples, John, Peter, and James, and he went to the Mount of Transfiguration. And when he's on that mountain, Peter, you know how Peter is, how quick he is to react and how quick he is to say thousands of things. But he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "It is good for us to be here." And I always like to be reminded of that phrase that Peter says, "It is good for us to be here." Everywhere where the name of the Lord is exalted, magnified, where he is praised, we can say that it is good for us to be here. And in this morning, I will invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and just read a phrase there, and then we're going to go to our passage, which is four chapters later. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you." It's that phrase. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you." And I will tell you this very quick. Last Sunday, or maybe two Sundays ago, two good friends of mine, and they were here with their brother Stephen Harrell, and one of them said something like this: I know what Caesar is going to preach when he comes to Wilmington. And he said he has been preaching in Luke chapter 15, and I think he's going to preach that when he comes here. And then the other one said, "No, I don't think he's going to preach on Luke chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son. I have been studying that." But this other friend said, "No, he's not going to preach. I think he's going to preach on the gospel. He's going to preach the gospel when he comes to Wilmington Bible Chapel." And that's what we are going to talk about, because when I come to new places, I always like to preach the gospel first. I like to be remembering the believers and bring into our minds what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And we are going to talk today about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that it is the solution for the sinner. And I don't know how many sinners do we have in this room. Just one, two sinners. I didn't ask you to raise your hands, but the Bible says that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that is the gospel. The gospel is the good news of salvation. The gospel is the solution for every sinner. And we're going to turn now with that phrase that we have read in 1 Corinthians 11. "For I have received from the Lord that which I am going to preach unto you, the gospel of Jesus Christ." And now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to verse 4. And this is what I like about the Apostle Paul, that he is not going to preach anything else than what he have received and that which he have already believed that is true. And that is something that he received from the Lord, he says. And that challenged my life, because we don't preach, we don't teach anything that we don't believe. That which we believe, we are going to preach. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is something that we, all of us who have been forgiven of your sins, our sins, we have believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our passage says, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 15, and before we start, At what time are we supposed to? 12 o'clock? Okay. I'll try to be done before 12 o'clock, maybe 5 minutes earlier, or we're going to see. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you, and here it comes the phrase again, for I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also receive, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. May the Lord bless his word in our lives. And if you see the context of this passage, of these things that the Apostle Paul is reminding the believers, because he is telling them, moreover, brothers, the gospel that I am going to refer to you right now, it is the same gospel that I preached when I came first to this place at Corinth, a very pagan place. And he preached the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was a problem, and we can see that in the context of this chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. And the problem that the Corinthians had, well, they had a lot of problems. You already know some of the problems. And one of the problems that they had is that I think they heard a false gospel after Paul. Paul comes to the place of Corinth, and he is preaching the gospel in many places, and he preached in this place at Corinth, and people get saved, and the Lord is adding to the church daily. We were reminded of that verse yesterday, those which were going to be saved. And people get saved at Corinth, and after a while, there's other people that does not believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they come preaching that gospel, that Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. And they are having a conversation, and they are having, they are talking, and they are saying, verse 33 says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. And they were having some conversations about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one of the problems, very similar to the problem that the church in Thessalonica had. What happens to a believer when he dies? Is he going to rise from the dead? What is going to happen? What happens with all the believers that died already, those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And something very similar was happening here in the church of Corinth. And Paul says in verse 2, by which, and he's talking about the gospel, by this gospel also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And now he says, for I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also receive, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The first thing is that he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Three things. And then he says, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What is the gospel? We know the gospel as the good news. Actually, the word is you. And it's not you as something stinks or something, a bad taste. It's you, the Greek word, you, angelium, and you is the good, and angelium is the news, good news. What are those good news? Well, Paul is saying that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news is that someone did something for us. Someone did something in our favor. And that person, Paul is saying, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And you have you know people that have done things for you, good things for you. Yesterday, we drive from Greensboro to Wilmington, and we stayed at our brother's Josh's house, Eli, Harold, and I. And they have done many good things for us, all of them. But this is the Lord Jesus Christ. doing something for us. This is the gospel, that someone did something. This is the good news that Jesus Christ, we heard it this morning, the just died for the unjust. Romans chapter 5 says that when we were yet sinners, and that is how the love of God, we don't understand that. How did he die? And Paul says there in Romans chapter 5, scarcely one will die for the just, for a good person, but for the bad person. And Jesus Christ died for our sins, Paul is saying here. He died when we were yet sinners. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also receive. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That is a very important phrase, according to the scriptures. And when he says according to the scriptures, we understand that he is not talking about the New Testament. Now we have the New Testament, we have the Gospels, and the Gospel tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ, his birth, his perfect life, his work as he was alive in the mortal body, and when he died, and when he was buried, when he rose from the dead, when he ascended to the right hand of the Father on high. But he is talking about the Old Testament, according to the scriptures, verse 2. And we are going to, the title for this message was The Gospel of Jesus Christ According to the Scriptures. So let's go to the Old Testament and see how that God gave prophecy about Jesus Christ, about the Messiah, about the promised one, that from Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, he promised that there was one who was going to come to do an awesome work. And this is the beginning of his work. Isaiah chapter 53, Jesus Christ died for our sins. That is the first thing. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. Someone that has done something for us, for our sake. And it says, verse 4, surely he had borne our griefs. Whose griefs? Ours. And then he says, and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, not for his, for our transgressions. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Until that verse, the Lord God had laid on Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. It pleased God to lay on the body of Jesus Christ our sins. Our sins were laid upon him at the cross. And then the wrath of God also fell on Jesus Christ at the cross. And Paul says, I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. The scriptures, the Old Testament tells us how that Christ was going to die. We remember when the Lord Jesus Christ, he is already dead, and his body is resting for 3 days, and then he rises from the dead, and he appears to his disciples, to two of them, on the road to Emmaus. And he says that their understanding was blind, and they could not see that it was Jesus walking with them. And he says that Jesus started from Moses in the Psalms and the prophets to tell them about himself, about Jesus Christ. Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, he started from Moses, from Genesis, Exodus, all from the beginning of the scriptures to tell them everything that the scriptures said about Jesus Christ, about the things that happened, because they asked him, are you the only one in Jerusalem that does not understand what had happened? And no, he was the only one that knew what happened, because they were confused. And he started from the beginning of the scriptures to tell them everything that the scriptures said about him. And one of those things is in Isaiah, the same thing that in Acts chapter 8, the eunuch was reading Isaiah chapter 53. And he didn't understand. But here is Paul saying, Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. This is the gospel that I have preached unto you. This gospel, beginning on the death of Jesus Christ. Why did he die? For our sins. And then he says, verse 4, and that he was buried. The question is, why was Jesus buried? Why was he buried? He was dead, and he was buried to prove that he was truly dead. He was buried, and his body, as we said before, his body rested for 3 days on that tomb. And it doesn't say according to the scriptures. And I'm wondering why it doesn't say that. Why does it not say Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried according to the scriptures? But I am reminded of the passage in Jonah chapter 1. Let's go to Jonah chapter 1. You can turn there. Jonah chapter 1. The Lord sent Jonah to preach the gospel to the Gentiles in Nineveh. And he refused, and he fled against the will of God. And in Jonah chapter 1 says, verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now, verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. 3 days and 3 nights. And what did Jesus say when he was still living in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12? And a group of people came to him and asked him, give us a sign from heaven. Give us a sign that you are the Messiah. Give us a sign. And he said, this perverse generation, it's not going to have any sign but the sign of the prophet Jonah, how that he was on the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And that's what he says. So as Jonah was on the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights, the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. The scripture, maybe not prophecies but shadows and pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. He rested. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried also. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He was buried as the proof that he was truly dead. And even when he was those 3 days on the tomb, some of them did not believe that he was dead. But let's continue in verse 4. It says, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And my brothers and my sisters, we hope that we are not struggling with the same thing that these Corinthians were struggling with, that they were not believing that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And Paul has to write all these verses, or it's not divided by verses, but he had to write all this passage to tell them. And I like how Paul refers to them in verse 18. Verse 18 or verse 16. For if the dead rise not, if you don't think that the dead can rise, then there is a problem, Paul says. Because if you don't believe that the people who is dead is going to rise, then Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, and the gospel that we have preached unto you is not true. And if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then Paul says to the Romans that Jesus Christ, he was risen for our justification. So he's telling them in this verse 16, 17, 18, 19, if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And there's a problem if Christ didn't rise from the dead. He says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Your sins have not been forgiven. Then they also which are falling asleep in Christ, they perish. They have no hope. It's not true that they are going to raise if truly the dead does not rise and if truly Jesus Christ has not risen from the dead. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ and you are believing that he did not rise from the dead, he says we are of all men most miserable. If we don't believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have not believed the true gospel, because the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul is saying in verse 3 and 4, is that Christ died for our sins. That was necessary. And I like in the Luke chapter 22 and verse 7, the Lord Jesus Christ says, or it is said of the feast, it says, then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover, and this word is very important, must be killed. The Passover must be killed. That is very important because there's no option. It is necessary for the Passover to be killed. And just like it was necessary for the Passover to be killed, we can see that it was necessary for Christ to die for our sins, because he is the just one and we are the unjust. I cannot die for the sins of no one else. I am guilty of my sins. We were reminded of the passage in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Nathan comes to David, and he said to David, this man, he took the lamb of the old man, having so many animals that he could have killed and given to the visit that came to him. But this man steal the small lamb from this poor guy, and he killed it. And David said, that man needs to die. If we do justice, this man must die. And our brother was reading that passage. Bring this man, we're going to do justice. And Nathan says, you are the man. I am the man. I am guilty of my own sins. I cannot die for the sins of anyone else here. Only a person who is holy, a person who is just can die for the sins of another person, can be a substitute. And that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when the fullness of time came, Jesus Christ, or God, sent his son born of a woman and born under the law. And he was born under the law and he fulfilled the law. He lived a perfect life, never sinned. And now he can be our substitute, because he is just, because he lived a perfect life, and because he is the Son of God. The eternal Son of God has to die for our offenses, our sins that we have done against the eternal God. And if the eternal Son of God does not die for our sins, we have to pay an eternal debt that we will never be able to pay, but we will be there in that place of torment. But praise the Lord that Jesus Christ, just like the Passover lamb must be killed, it was necessary to be killed, the Lord Jesus Christ also, it was necessary for him to die. And in Luke chapter 24, two chapters later, now is the angel that says, Luke 24, verse 6, we're going to start on verse 6, he is not here, the angel says, but it's risen. Remember what the scripture says. Remember what Jesus told you. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must, there is the word again, Dion. The Son of Man must, is necessary for him to be delivered into the hands of sinful men. That was necessary. And it was necessary for him to be crucified, and the third day rise from the dead. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul is talking about. The gospel that he has received from the Lord. And the gospel that Paul understands in the Old Testament. And the gospel that he preached to the people in Corinth. But now they are having doubts. They believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins. They believe that Jesus Christ was buried. But they are having doubts in the resurrection. Brothers, Jesus Christ died for our sins. Yes, he was buried also as the proof that he was dead, but also it was necessary for him to rise from the dead. Because when he rose from the dead, Paul says that he rise for our justification. Now we can stand before God right, just. Now we can have the righteousness of Christ, and we can come in his name as people whose sins have been forgiven. That's the only way that a person can go to heaven. We understand that. Only when our sins are forgiven, no sin is going to be in heaven in the presence of God. That's the only way that a person can go to heaven. Be born without sin, and that is not possible, or that the sins are forgiven. And that's why Jesus came and he died, and he was buried, and he rose the third day, according to the scriptures. And now when he rose from the dead, it says the scripture says that he appeared to his disciples 40 days, and then he left, and he went to the right hand of God, and he's interceding for us, saying, our brothers, the people in Wilmington, the people in Randleman, the people in many places that have believed in me and have believed that I died, that I was buried, and that I rose from the dead, I am here before you, Father, telling you and confessing to you that I died for their sins and that those people are right. And the Father, we are accepted before the Father. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and it says, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures, let's go to the scriptures, to the Old Testament, and see in the book of Psalms, a messianic psalm in chapter 16, let's see that Jesus Christ was buried according to the scriptures. And if someone knows why the scripture or Paul is not saying that he was buried according to the scripture, why he doesn't say that, I will appreciate you to help me on that, because I don't know why Paul says only that he died and that he was risen from the dead according to the scriptures. I don't understand why he doesn't say, but it is the Holy Spirit, and I believe it. Psalm chapter 16 and verse 8, Jesus Christ rise from the dead according to the scriptures. I have said, David is saying, and this is a prophecy about Jesus Christ, I have said the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. David, he is talking as if it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He is writing and saying this prophecy. But why are you so glad? Why is your heart glad? Why is your glory rejoicing? And he says, my flesh also shall rest in hope, verse 9. Why is your flesh going to rest in hope 3 days and three nights? And he says in verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. That is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. His body is not going to enter in decomposition. His body is not going to be corrupted, because after 4 days that Lazarus in John chapter 11, around verse 39 to 41, he says, Martha says to the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ said, roll away the stone, open the tomb. And Martha said, Lord, it stinketh. He has been there for 4 days. He is dead. Jesus Christ said, Martha, didn't I told you that if thou believest, thou shalt see the glory of God? And the glory, part of the glory of God is also that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And if you believe that he died for our sins, and if you have believed also that he was buried, it is necessary that we also believe that he rose from the dead after 3 days of being resting, and he rose for our justification. The gospel of Jesus Christ, he did these things for us. And if I will ask you to turn now to Luke chapter 23, to see the first thing, how that Jesus Christ died for our sins. But no doubt, Paul says to the Corinthians, if we only believe that Jesus Christ was dead, we only believe that Jesus Christ was buried, but we believe that he did not rise from the dead, we are of all the world the most worthy of pity. And then he says on the next verse, but now, and that's what our brother was reading this morning, we are sinners, but God, whose mercy is great. We were separated from God, but God bought us with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, but now Christ is risen from the dead. Christ is risen from the dead. But let's look in Luke chapter 23, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to start in verse 37. And a superscription also written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Believers at Wilmington Bible Chapel, and everyone who is here, everyone who is under my voice today, if you are not a believer, the same question is for you, our friend, that our brother was, the question that he asked his mom, what will happen if you die, or whenever you die? What will happen to your soul? How will you stand and say to God, God, you should let me into the heaven. You should let me in your presence. What will you say to him if your sins are not forgiven? Before it be too late, before the door is closed, you have to come to him as this malefactor. We have the picture here at the cross, two malefactors, and one said to the Lord Jesus Christ, if thou be, he is doubting, he is like some people at Corinth. Did he really rise from the dead? These people is preaching something else. These people are having conversations saying that he did not rise from the dead. And this first malefactor, he says to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are, that's doubt. He is not sure. He does not truly 100% believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. If you are the Son of God, save yourself and save us. And then the other one rebuked him and said to the malefactor, the first one, he says to him, do you not fear that you are in the same condemnation, that you are about to die? You are offending God. This man who is in the midst of us, he's a just man. Do you not fear that you are offending the Son of God? One has faith and the other one has no faith. One says, if thou be the Son of God, and the other one says, I know that you are the Son of God. And not only he says that he is the Son of God, but he says also, he repents of his sins. Here in verse 41, he says, we are here. This is justice. That we are here in this cross, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. He is confessing his sins. That's how repentance begins, acknowledging that we are sinners. And I know we have experienced that. We have said to the Lord, we agree. I confess today that what you say about me is true, that I am a sinner, that I deserve to be punished. And he says, I am here in this cross because I am a sinner, because I am a murderer, because I have done wrong and I deserve to be here. I confess it and I repent of my sins. And he says, and he said unto Jesus now, Lord. Why did he call him Lord? How did he believe that he is the Lord? I don't know if he read the scriptures. I don't know if he heard from the Pharisees or the religious people. I don't know if he heard the Lord Jesus Christ preach. But he had heard from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how faith begins, by hearing. And maybe one of the things let him know or understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is the superscription above that says the King of the Jews. They didn't have a king there. They were captive by the Romans. But the superscription said the King of the Jews. And the King of the Jews is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe that's one of the things that, or maybe what other people were saying about Jesus Christ. He saved others, and himself he cannot save. But something moved this malefactor, second malefactor, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and he calls him Lord. And I will ask you, is Jesus Christ your Lord? Jesus Christ, have you believed on Jesus Christ? Paul said to the Romans, chapter 10, 9 and 10, if thou shalt believe with your heart, and if thou shalt confess, repentance, that's repentance, confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord. And Peter says in Acts chapter 2, this same Christ, this same guy, Jesus of Nazareth, that you have crucified, the Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit, has risen from the dead, and he has made him Christ and Lord. Jesus Christ, when we believe in him, and when our sins are forgiven, he is not only our Savior, but he is our Lord. He is our Lord. And as our Lord, we ought to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are servants of Jesus Christ. And the word that Paul uses is a slave. I am a bond servant of Jesus Christ. And that's who we are. We cannot be only saved, but we are also bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He cannot only be our Savior, but he is also automatically, when we are saved, he is also our Lord. And as our Lord, we are to be submitted to him. And this malefactor understood, even though he only had a few minutes of life. And he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Isn't that faith? Isn't that hope? He says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Didn't he believe also that Christ was going to rise from the dead? He says, when you come in your kingdom, I know that you are going to die. I know that you are going to be buried. I know that you are going to rise from the dead and come in your kingdom. When you come in your kingdom, remember me. Remember me. And the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, let's finish with this. Jesus Christ, verse 43 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, today, what promptness, what readiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, you have believed today? If you die today, you will be with me in paradise. And that is the hope of the believer, that if we die today, because we are right before God, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we die today, or if he comes today, we will be with him, because our sins are forgiven. And he experienced that, this malefactor, the second one. Today, what readiness shall thou be with me? What a company he will have, the Savior, the Son of God, with me in paradise. That is a great bliss. That is a privilege of this malefactor. And I know that many of us have believed also this same gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also have that hope. We believe that he died for our sins. We believe that he was buried as the evidence that he was truly dead. And we believe also that he rose from the dead the third day, according to the scriptures, according to the gospel. And we also, therefore, have hope in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he comes today, we will be with him. May the Lord bless our hearts with his word.